As you know, God's fall holy days are behind us, well past us. And we can look back with fond memory. I know I will as well, even though I had some health challenges. It was still a wonderful feast, especially spiritually. We heard very good messages, and it certainly reflected, the messages certainly reflected the hope that we all have in God's coming kingdom. And now we find ourselves in the middle of the world's biggest holiday celebrations of the year. And we know it's a very wrong celebration at that. For the people of God, it can be a very difficult time of year as well, and for many reasons. At times, I found this time of year to be very dark and also very depressing. And it's not because we don't get to celebrate in this world's holidays. That doesn't bring upon any depression or anxiety with me. It's just the thought of all of the wrongness that's just surrounds you every day of your life this time of year. I mean, we can't even come to church, unfortunately, without seeing the wrongness around. I'm not sure why they need so many Christmas trees, I guess, but seemed like there could be some other decorations they could put up. But I know when we met in Dayton, we met at a senior citizen center there. Hall, it was a very nice hall. But sure enough, every time around Christmas, they must have had a dozen Christmas trees. It seemed like every year they added more Christmas trees too. But it can be a very dark and depressing time for the people of God. I've often said to others that I think December 26th is the greatest day of the year. And I say that because in my mind, that's the farthest that I can be from the next celebration of Christmas, December 26th. So that's just my own personal thought there. Well, we don't have to be down and depressed because God has given his people an incredible hope. An incredible hope that one day all of this wrongness will be gone. All of the abominations that God cannot stand will be destroyed and removed. All the actually evil traditions, even like the Krampus Festival that I told you about during announcements, that will be gone. It will be forgotten as well. And we have that hope that one day Jesus Christ is going to change everything. And that will happen, as we know, when God the Father sends his Son, Jesus Christ, back to this earth. And he will establish his government upon this world. And it will no longer be Satan's world. Great change, in fact, almost unbelievable change, will spread across this entire earth. Think for a moment, if you would, about what changes you're looking forward to most as God the Father and Jesus Christ set their work to changing everything on this earth. What are you looking forward to the most? Is it the fact that man's nature and even the beasts that are on this earth, the animals, that their nature is going to be changed? That's going to happen. There won't be wild, vicious beasts roaming the earth. They'll be calm. And there's so many scriptures that testify to the change that's going to take place in the nature of animals and also in men. Is it going to be the fact that ancient enemies, nations that have been enemies of one another, are going to work together? They're going to come together in the true belief and worship of Jesus Christ. And they're going to gather together at Jerusalem. Is that something you're going to look forward to? Because you turn on the news today and all you see is one nation hating and warring against another nation. It's a horrible thing to sit and watch news day after day and be so filled with hatred and violence. The deserts as dry and as hot and almost uninhabitable, except for the very special and unique creatures that God created to live there, the deserts are almost uninhabitable. And that's going to change. One day we're told that the deserts are going to blossom as a rose. There's so many changes that are going to take place. Peace will rule the earth. People will be filled with joy and happiness, not a false joy and happiness like we have at this time of year. It will be real. People will feel it to the depths of their being. One day soon, our hope will be fulfilled. A real change is coming to this earth. And that's actually the title of my sermon today, if you like titles. The title is A Change is Coming. It's so exciting to think about the changes that Jesus Christ will usher in. These changes will completely transform life as we know it today. The change will be so incredible that even we don't fully grasp how all-encompassing it will be upon this planet. This afternoon, I would like to take a look at the change that is forecasted throughout God's Word. It will be awesome, and it will be complete. And I think, and hopefully you'll agree by the time we get to the end of the sermon, that it is a refreshing look at what we know is going to happen upon this world during a very dark time of the year. But the change is going to be awesome. It's going to be complete. And you and I will be the force for that change. We'll be the ones initiating the change in people and across this world from one corner to the next. In fact, we're learning how to be that force for change right now, every Sabbath. Every Sabbath and sermon that we hear, sermonette messages, are about our need to be trained and ready to make changes upon this earth. For my sermon today, we'll look at Isaiah chapter 11. If you have a bookmark, you might want to pop it in there, because we'll be going back and forth to Isaiah chapter 11, because in this chapter, it talks about the three main changes that I would like to talk about in my sermon today. The change that is coming is a change that the world unknowingly cries out for every day of its life. This world cries out for these changes. They want it so bad, they need it so bad, and yet at the same time, they don't know how to achieve it, to achieve the things that they need in their life. Sadly, too many feel that the change that we need is going to be accomplished through politics, through men, and that's not going to happen. Man does not have the answers to solve mankind's problems, but God does. He knows exactly what needs to change. Every time you see a tear fall because of an unjust loss of life, or when a person hurts unjustly, it's a cry or a tear for God's kingdom. Every time you hear someone express their frustration with government, it's a cry for God's righteous kingdom to come, for His government to be set up on this earth. Every time you see someone suffering from disease or malnutrition, it's a cry for God's kingdom to come to this earth. The first point I would like to look into from Isaiah 11 is, with the kingdom comes justice. And like I said, we'll have 3 points today. The first one is, with the kingdom comes justice. Let's begin reading in Isaiah chapter 11. verse 1, and now I would like to start off by reading in the New International Version, the NIV. Verse 1, it says, a shoot will come up from the stump of Jesse. From his roots a branch will bear fruit. The Spirit of the Lord will rest upon him, the Spirit of wisdom and of understanding, the Spirit of counsel and of might, the Spirit of knowledge and the fear of the Lord. You see, all these are very important aspects of Jesus Christ. And when he comes to this earth, he's going to pour these things out upon our earth. We're going to have wise counsel and strength like we've never had strength before. And the Spirit of knowledge, not knowledge of a physical sense, spiritual knowledge, and how to properly respect and live in awe of the Lord. Verse 3, and he will delight in the fear of the Lord. He will not judge by what he sees with his eyes or decide by what he hears with his ears, but with righteousness he will judge the needy. By righteousness. Righteousness is almost non-existent in our world today. And yet so much judgment is made in our world on unrighteousness. It's part of the sad tale of mankind right now. But with righteousness he will judge the needy. With justice he will give decisions for the poor of the earth. He will strike the earth with the rod of his mouth and the breath of his lips. He will slay the wicked. Righteousness will be his belt and faithfulness the sash around his waist. Verse 4, it says that with the breath of his lips, he will slay the wicked. Does that happen in our world today? Are the wicked put down? There's a few that are put down, but there's wickedness all through our world today. The Christmas season is nothing but evil, nothing but wickedness. It doesn't matter how you disguise it. I could sit there and bring a cow in here and tell you that it's now a horse. It doesn't change what the cow is. It doesn't matter if 99% of us agree and start nodding and say, yeah, that's a horse. It's still a cow. It doesn't matter how many people agree that it's a horse. Wickedness is promoted. It thrives in our world today. But it's not going to be that way when Jesus Christ comes. He tells us in verse 4 that by the breath of his lips, the wickedness will stop. It will be put down. What matters and what's important and what has power and influence will be completely changed once Jesus Christ comes to this earth and places his Father's government here. All decisions, all judgment will be placed and made based upon righteousness and justice, true justice. We don't see justice carried out in our world today. What is justice? What makes wrongs right? What are some ways of injustice in our world today? How about little children that are aborted? I looked up the statistics, and actually abortion is on the decline. But there's still way too many abortions. In 2020, there was almost 1 million legal abortions in the United States. That's sad. And that doesn't account for the people that have aborted a birth or a childbirth because they took a pill at home. That's just a statistic of those of the babies that were aborted in legalized clinics. What about the violence that goes on in our society? Both physical and emotional violence. People suffer under pain from physical and emotional abuse. What about the personal relationships within our world today? Rudeness is throughout our country and this world. People, in too many cases, are just mean, forcing their opinion and their will upon others. Anything that is wrong is unjust. Anything. From God's standpoint, anything that is wrong is to be considered not just. And Jesus Christ, when he returns, is going to establish justice. All the wrong things that happen in our world today will be gone. They'll vanish over time. We must be careful how we treat one another. Because in our lives today, we're to be living the world tomorrow, if you want to call it that, or God's kingdom, and what that's going to be like, all the fruits of God's Holy Spirit, those are to be a part of our life today. Yes, we can look forward to the return of Jesus Christ, and we should, and look forward to the changes that are going to be happening throughout this world, but they should already be in effect and moving forward in our life. We should be living in peace. The way we conduct our lives should be done according to what is just and what is right and what is good. We shouldn't be rude to others. We shouldn't be mean to others. We shouldn't be forcing our opinions upon others. You can have your opinions. Everyone's welcome to their opinion. But we shouldn't be forcing our opinions on other people. We need to be about the love that Jesus Christ is going to bring to this earth when he returns. It needs to be happening in our life now. Let's go to Isaiah chapter 33, verse 5. Isaiah 33, we'll read verse 5 and verse 6 here. It says, the Lord is exalted. So he's going to be lifted up. Was he exalted when he was here on this earth? When he died for us, for mankind? He was not. He came as a lamb, and he was slaughtered like a lamb for our benefit and for the world's benefit. But the time is coming when Jesus Christ will be lifted up. He'll be exalted. Verse 5 again, the Lord is exalted, for he dwells on high. He has filled Zion with justice and righteousness. And as we know, the Zion that's pictured here is talking about Jerusalem. It's going to be filled with justice and righteousness. Verse 6, wisdom and knowledge will be the stability of your times. Do we have stability in our world today? No. Why? Because we don't have wisdom and knowledge from God in effect in our world today. Wisdom and knowledge will be the stability of your times and the strength of salvation. The fear of the Lord is his treasure. True justice takes righteous judgment. True justice takes righteous judgment. We must be very slow in judging others and being very thoughtful in how we judge others. Let's consider Paul's view, the Apostle Paul's view on judgment. Let's go to 1 Corinthians chapter 4. We'll begin reading in verse 1. Yep, verse 1. And I'll read from the New Living Translation. First Corinthians chapter 4, verses 1 through 5. So Paul's speaking here. He says, so look at Apollos and me as mere servants of Christ who have been put in charge of explaining God's mysteries. Now, a person who is put in charge as a manager must be faithful. As for me, it matters very little how I might be evaluated by you or by any human authority. I don't even trust my own judgment on this point. Verse 4, my conscience is clear, but that doesn't prove I'm right. That's an important attitude from the Apostle Paul. That he doesn't even trust himself in his own judgment. He knows he has to apply everything through the Word of God. He said that my conscience might be clear. I may believe that what I'm saying and doing and believe in is right, but that doesn't prove I'm right. What does prove he's right? Scripture. It is the Lord himself who will examine me and decide. So don't make judgments about anyone ahead of time, before the Lord's return. Why is that significant? What's going to happen at Jesus Christ's return? Well, we've already started to see it. Righteousness will come to this earth. Knowledge will come to this earth. And with the return of Jesus Christ, we know, and Paul knew, that he would be a spirit being and have the perfection of Jesus Christ, the righteousness of Jesus Christ in him. Verse 5 again, so don't make judgments about anyone ahead of time before the Lord returns, for he will bring our darkest secrets to light and will reveal our private motives. Then God will give to each one whatever praise is due. God is the only one that can, that has and does have righteous judgment. We do not. We must be careful because our judgment isn't righteous. We can have all the facts and figures that we think that we can search out and find, but it's not based on righteousness because we of ourselves are not righteous. We have righteousness dwelling in us through God's Holy Spirit. But none of us are righteous of our own. Let's jump back to Isaiah 11. We'll reread verses 2 and 3 here. The Spirit of the Lord shall rest upon him, the spirit of wisdom and understanding, the spirit of counsel and might, the spirit of knowledge and the fear of the Lord. That's why Paul said we should wait until the return of Jesus Christ, because that's what he's bringing with him to this earth. Right now, even the people of God are handicapped in having perfect righteousness and perfect judgment. But what will our judgment become? What do we have to look forward to in terms of being able to execute righteous judgment? Well, let's go to Isaiah chapter 32. Verses 1 through 5. Again, I'll read from the New Living Translation. Isaiah chapter 32, beginning in verse 1. Look, a righteous king is coming. And honest princes will rule under him. That's talking about us. Honest princes. Not dishonest rulers, honest rulers. Each one will be like a shelter from the wind and a refuge from the storm. It's talking about you and the effect you're going to have on those around you, the effect you're going to have on those that you teach and that you help and that you comfort. Each one will be like a shelter from the wind and a refuge from the storm, like streams of water in the desert and a shadow of a great rock in a parched land. Then everyone who has eyes will be able to see the truth. everyone will understand the truth of God. And everyone who has ears will be able to hear it. Even the hotheads, I like the way it puts that in the New Living Translation, even the hotheads will be full of sense and understanding. That's how far-reaching and complete God's effect and your effect is going to be upon other people. Even the hotheads will be full of sense and understanding. Those who stammer will speak out plainly. And in that day, ungodly fools will not be heroes. Scoundrels will not be respected. So, of course, free will is clear that it will be a part of God's kingdom. And people that refuse to learn and to grow and to change, hopefully it's just a few, but it describes them in verse 5. In that day, ungodly fools will not be heroes. Is that the way it is today? Actually, just completely the opposite. Those that are the most ungodly are often put at the top. Excuse me. Scoundrels will not be respected. Too often again today, they are. What a wonderful future Jesus has planned for his saints in the kingdom. The second point is with the kingdom comes peace and rest. Peace and rest. How important are those in need in our society today? Let's go back to Isaiah chapter 11. Isaiah chapter 11, and we'll read verses 6 through 10. Peace and rest is going to come to this earth. Verse 6, the wolf also shall dwell with the lamb. Does that happen today? It does not. This is talking about the change that's going to take place in animals. Their very nature is going to be changed. The wolf shall dwell with the lamb. The leopard shall lie down with the young goat. The calf and the young lion and the fatling together, and a little child shall lead them. This is an impossible event in our world today. The cow and the bear shall graze. Their young ones shall lie down together, and the lion shall eat straw like the ox. The nursing child shall play by the cobra's hole, and the weaned child shall put his hand in the viper's den. Verse 9, they shall not hurt nor destroy in all of my holy mountain, because it's going to be at peace. It's going to be at rest. It's going to be a place of shelter for everyone that is there. For the earth shall be full of the knowledge of the Lord as the waters cover the sea. And the seas are pretty well covered by water. It's going to be that way with the knowledge and the understanding of God and his truth and his way of life. What a beautiful picture. Verse 10, and in that day there shall be a root of Jesse, who shall stand as a banner to the people. For the Gentiles shall seek him, and his resting place shall be glorious. Gentiles will come to seek Jesus Christ, to seek the change that they need in their life. And his resting place shall be glorious. Verses 6 through 8 speak of a complete change in the nature of animals. Is our world in any way close to this picture in Scripture? It is not. This set of verses speaks of a time where there will be complete peace throughout the world as the waters cover the sea. What does it take to have that kind of peace in our world? It will take a world where all fear is removed. You can't have peace if you have fear. You can't. It just simply cannot happen. For a person to be at peace in their life and in their existence, you have to remove all fear from them. Today, we have to deal with fear in every aspect of our life. Just think about what it would be like in your life if you had all fear removed. You had nothing to be afraid of. You wouldn't have to worry about losing your job. You wouldn't have to worry about not having enough money to buy food, to pay your bills, because God's going to give us knowledge and instruction on how to do all this and to do it in a just way. Employers and employees will work in unison together. People will be taught how to live in a right way, in a beneficial way, a way that produces peace and removes fear from their life. We live in fear of our neighbors. Everything of value in your life, ask yourself this, doesn't everything of value in your life sit behind a lock and key? It does. You just consider how many locks are in our world today. Locks on windows, locks on doors, locks on cars. Sadly, our world is so full of evil, we even have to be careful to make sure that we have security so that we can come and worship before our God on a Sabbath day. There's so much fear in our world today, even in our own communities. We live in fear of other countries and the threat of an attack upon our country. It's always there because there's people whose hearts are filled with evil and they want to do harm. They want to inflict pain. One day, those people won't exist anymore. Their natures are going to be changed as well. Fear will not be tolerated. Peace will rule every individual's life, and it will rule the earth. Just consider what the people of Israel live with every day of their life. They have to be the most hated people on this planet. They just are hated. And except for self-defense, they're a very peaceful people. It's not like they're going out and executing plans to go in and conquer foreign lands and take over other countries. Only when they're pushed to defend themselves do they have to react by force. One day in the near future, I hope and pray, their peace will be real. And I can't imagine from an Israeli's mindset how valuable that kind of peace would be. To have no fear anymore in your existence. It's going to be a time where they would just rejoice, I have to believe, almost endlessly of having all fear removed from their life. We can't really appreciate how much fear is a part of our life because it is so ingrained in our everyday existence. So you just become numb to it. Fear is all around us in so many different aspects of life and you just live with it. And I know God's thinking, my people, it doesn't have to be this way. Someday soon, I'm going to change it. And you'll be free from all fear. And when you are, you will have peace like you've never experienced it before. Let's go to Ezekiel chapter 34, verse 25. Ezekiel 34. verse 25. I'll read this from the New Living Translation. Ezekiel 34, we'll read verses 25 through 31. I will make a covenant of peace with my people and drive away the dangerous animals from the land. Then they will be able to camp safely in the wildest places and sleep in the woods without fear. That paints quite a picture. Would you feel comfortable? My wife and I were blessed to be able to observe the feast up in the Canadian Rockies this year. And we were probably kind of ridiculous in this way. But while we were up there, about, I think it was about halfway through the feast, unfortunately, a horrible news story came across the news. And it was on the radio, it was on TV. And a man and a woman were hiking, and they went back in hiking. I think they were going back. I think this was the second day of their hike, they figured out. And they had set up camp back in this lowland, and a grizzly came upon them. And they found the grizzly later on after this grizzly mauled them and killed them. And they were able to put the grizzly down. They said that the grizzly was an older grizzly, and that he didn't have much meat on his bones, and that all of that probably played into why this bear attacked them and killed them. They actually must have had enough time to send out, I don't know that much about hiking and up in the Rockies and all the available technology, but they must have had some way through their cell phones to send out an emergency alert that they were under attack by a bear, because it came to the local folks there that monitor those kind of things, but the weather and the nightfall kept them from getting access to them quick enough. It was the next day or morning when they finally made it to the couple and found their bodies. So it's a very sad story, but it also paints the picture of how things are going to change, because even though, the news report did say that this was like the first time, I think in a decade, that they've had a grizzly attack and kill a person. So it's not a normal event to hackers. But it kind of spooked us, and we wanted just to do some random easy hikes. So we actually went to a hardware store, and there wasn't a lot of parking, so Joan ran into a local hardware store because we were going to go hiking that day, and I thought, we better get some bear spray. They sell cans of bear spray. And I think the guy kind of almost laughed at us, because my wife was, he said, well, where are you going? Because it's like $50 a can. The stuff wasn't cheap. So the guy asked her, said, where are you going? And she told him, I forget the name of the trails. We were just hiking, you know, where all the sightseers and vacationers go. And there's people all around all the time, so the bears stay away from there anyway. But she told him where we were going. He goes, you won't need bear spray. You'll be fine. So we were glad to hear that, but we, you know, not being from the area, we were concerned with the news reports and running across the bear. So anyway, things are going to be changed. Let's continue reading Ezekiel 34, verse 26. He says, I will bless my people and their homes around my holy hill, and in the proper season I will send showers they need. There will be showers of blessing. The orchards and the fields of my people will yield bumper crops, and everyone will live in safety. See, no fear. Everyone will live in safety when I have broken their chains of slavery and rescued them from those who enslaved them. Then they will know that I am the Lord. They will no longer be prey for other nations, and wild animals will no longer devour them. They will live in safety, and no one will frighten them. I will make their land famous for its crops, so my people will never again suffer from famines or the insults of foreign nations. In this way, they will will know that I, the Lord, their God, am with them. And they will know that they, the people of Israel, are my people, says the sovereign Lord. You are my flock, the sheep of my pasture. You are my people, and I am your God. I am the sovereign Lord. I, the sovereign Lord, have spoken. So God is promising a peace to come upon this world. A peace and a lack of fear. That is a picture of the true peace that Jesus Christ will bring upon this earth. Let's go to Micah chapter 4. We'll read verses 1 through 4. This time I'll read from the NIV. Micah chapter 4, verses 1 through 4. Another picture of what life is going to be like during the rule and reign of Jesus Christ. Micah 4, 1. In the last days, the mountain of the Lord's temple will be established as the highest of the mountains. It will be exalted above the hills, and people will stream to it. Many nations will come and say, come, let us go up to the mountain of the Lord, to the temple of the God of Jacob. He will teach us his ways, so that we may walk in his paths. The law will go out from Zion, the word of the Lord from Jerusalem. He will judge between many peoples, and he will settle disputes for strong nations far and wide. They will beat their swords into plowshares and their spears into pruning hooks. Nation will not lift up sword against nation, nor will they train for war anymore. Everyone will sit under their own vine and under their own fig tree, and no one will make them afraid, for the Lord Almighty has spoken. Such power, such assurance we receive from the Word of God about the changes that are going to come to this planet. The third and final point of the sermon today on the changes that are going to take place, as outlined in Isaiah 11, is with the kingdom comes a gathering and a healing between men. It's a little bit long. I'll read it again. With the kingdom comes a gathering and healing between men. Let's jump back to Isaiah 11. We'll begin reading in verse 11. So Isaiah 11, 11. We'll start by reading through verse 13. Of Isaiah 11. In that day, the Lord will reach out his hand a second time to reclaim the surviving remnant of his people from Assyria, from Lower Egypt, from Upper Egypt, from Cush, from Elam, from Babylonia, from Hamath, and from the islands of the Mediterranean. So God's going to gather his people and bring them together to Jerusalem. Verse 12, he will raise a banner for the nations and gather the exiles of Israel. He will assemble the scattered people of Judah from the four quarters of the earth. Ephraim's jealousy will vanish. Judah's enemies will be destroyed, and Ephraim will not be jealous of Judah, nor Judah hostile towards Ephraim. And let's drop down to verse 16. Says there will be a highway for the remnant of his people that is left from Assyria, as there was for Israel when they came up from Egypt. So God's going to provide a way for all of his people to come together to Jerusalem and worship and to receive knowledge and understanding of how to live their life. Let's go to Isaiah 19. Let's go back. Or forward, I should say, a few chapters. Isaiah 19. I'm sorry. Yeah, that's right. Isaiah 19, verse 23. Isaiah 19, verse 23, we'll read down through verse 25. says, and in that day there will be a highway from Egypt to Assyria. The Assyrians will go to Egypt, and the Egyptians to Assyria. The Egyptians and Assyrians will worship together. Can you imagine that in our day today? Verse 24, and in that day Israel will be the third, along with Egypt and Assyria, a blessing upon the earth. God's going to make these arch enemies of each other a blessing to the entire earth. The Lord Almighty, verse 25, the Lord Almighty will bless them, saying, blessed be Egypt, my people, Assyria, my handiwork, and Israel, my inheritance. That's the healing and the gathering together that's going to take place under the rule and reign of Jesus Christ. He's going to bring nations together that were arch enemies of each other, filled with hundreds and hundreds of years of hate. And it's all going to be done away. It's all going to be healed. Let's go to Isaiah 35, verse 1. I actually want to read as quick as I can this whole entire chapter, Isaiah 35, verse 1 through 10. Verse 1, the wilderness and the wasteland shall be glad for them, and the desert shall rejoice and blossom as a rose. It shall blossom abundantly and rejoice, even with joy and singing. The glory of Lebanon shall be given to it, the excellence of Carmel and Sharon, and they shall see the glory of the Lord, the excellency of our God. Strengthen the weak hands and make firm the feeble knees. Say to those who are fearful hearted, be strong, do not fear. Behold, your God will come with vengeance. With the recompense of God, he will come and save you. Then the eyes of the blind shall be opened, and the ears of the deaf shall be unstopped. The lame shall leap like a deer, and the tongue of the dumb sing. The water shall burst forth in the wilderness and streams in the desert. The parched ground shall become a pool, and the thirsty land springs of water. In the habitation of jackals where each lay, there shall be grass and reeds and rushes. A highway shall be there and a road, and it shall be called the highway of holiness. The unclean shall not pass over it, but it shall be for others. Whoever walks the road, although a fool, shall not go astray. No lion shall be there, nor shall any ravenous beast go upon it. It shall not be found there, but the redeemed shall walk there. And the ransom of the Lord shall return and come to Zion with singing, with everlasting joy on their heads. They shall obtain joy and gladness, and sorrow and sighing shall flee away. Sorrow and sighing shall flee away. That's just peace and relief. You know, sighing, when a person sighs, it's generally associated with frustration. This world's full of sighing and frustration because we don't have answers without God. Israel has more enemies than any other nation throughout time. They have been despised by almost every nation except the United States. I wonder why. Maybe because of the brotherly bond put there by God that people don't understand as yet. Had it not been for the U.S., Israel would have been wiped off the map a long time ago. And I should probably correct that. If it were not for God, Israel would have been wiped off the map a long time ago. Why is so much hatred pointed to Israel? Because Satan knows what is prophesied for Israel. Satan knows that everything that we've read about and heard about today is going to take place in the center of God's land, in Israel. He knows it. He knows it is God's city. He knows that Israel belongs, and Jerusalem specifically belongs, to the people of God. And Satan knows that Christ will return to this glorious place, and he will establish his Father's government beginning in Jerusalem. That's why Israel is hated, because Satan hates Israel. Let's go to Zechariah 14. Beginning in verse 1. Zechariah 14, verse 1. Behold, the day of the Lord is coming, and your spoil will be divided in your midst. For I will gather all the nations to battle against Jerusalem. That's how bad it's going to get. All the nations are going to battle against Jerusalem. The city shall be taken, the houses rifled, the women ravished. Half of the city shall go into captivity, but the remnant of the people shall not be cut off from the city. In other words, all the people won't be destroyed or removed from Jerusalem. Then the Lord will go forth and fight against these nations, as he fights in the day of battle. And in that day his feet will stand on the Mount of Olives, which faces Jerusalem on the east. And the Mount of Olives shall be split in two from east to west, making a very large valley. Half of the mountain shall move toward the north, and half of it toward the south. Let's jump down to verse 8. And in that day it shall be that living water shall flow from Jerusalem. This is what's going to happen after this titanic battle between Jesus Christ and all the other nations of the earth that come to attack his people and his city. And in that day it shall be that living water shall flow from Jerusalem, half of them toward the eastern sea and half of them towards the western sea. In both summer and winter it shall occur. Verse 9, the Lord shall be king over all the earth. And in that day it shall be the Lord is one, and his name one. These coming days will be awesome for all people, and especially for the people of God. Let's go to one last scripture, Zechariah chapter 8. Zechariah chapter 8, we'll begin reading in verse 1. Listen to God's inspired words here about life after Jesus Christ's return. Verse 1, and again the word of the Lord of hosts came, saying, thus says the Lord of hosts, I am zealous for Zion with great zeal. With great fervor I am zealous for her. Verse 3, thus says the Lord, I will return to Zion and dwell in the midst of Jerusalem. Jerusalem shall be called the city of truth, the mountain of the Lord of hosts, the holy mountain. Thus says the Lord of hosts, old men and old women shall again sit in the streets of Jerusalem, each one with his staff in his hand because of great age. The streets of the city shall be full of boys and girls playing in its streets. Thus says the Lord of hosts, if it is marvelous in the eyes of the remnant of this people in these days, will it also be marvelous in my eyes, says the Lord of hosts. It's going to be so impactful, so incredible, so beautiful what's going to take place, is even Jesus Christ is going to be amazed at what's going to take place in regards to the change of this earth. Will it also be marvelous in my eyes, says the Lord of hosts. Verse 7, thus says the Lord of hosts, behold, I will save my people from the land of the east and from the land of the west. I will bring them back, and they shall dwell in the midst of Jerusalem. They shall be my people. I will be their God in truth and righteousness. Truth will be established. truth based upon the very law of God. And it will impact people's lives like never before. What we've read today is coming, and it's real. And I believe that it is near. It is our magnificent hope and our light during what otherwise is a very dark time upon this earth. At the sending of Jesus Christ by his Father in heaven, Jesus and the saints with him will bring justice, as described in Isaiah 11. We will bring peace, and we will bring healing, just as it's described in Isaiah 11, and also many other places in God's word. It might be a dark time, and it might be difficult for God's people to make it through these days. But we cannot forget, and nor should we forget, the hope that God has given us of the change that's going to happen to this earth. I hope the rest of your Sabbath day is very blessed.